Good morning. This morning's topic of Kedimas Yisrael, giving priority to Jewish businesses, is a topic that I think is very, people intuitively understand that it's a good thing to patronize Jewish businesses. We all have a strong sense of community, and we all have a sense of responsibility to our neighbors, our fellow Jews. But all too often, it's one thing in principle to say it's a wonderful idea, we should be doing it. But then when you go out shopping, you can save a few dollars by going to a Goyish place, you can buy it online. It's a little bit more convenient to buy it from a non-Jewish establishment. So then already people sort of sing a different tune. And all too often, again, there's a tremendous amount of business that ends up going out of the community, that ends up going to non-Jewish establishments. So it's important to spend a few minutes to go through the halachos, to go through the makairos, the sources, and see when is there a chiyuv, when is it a mitzvah, and when can you go elsewhere. Now the makar of these halachos is Rashi in Parshas Behar. The pasuk tells us, v'chisimkuru memkar la'am yisecha, oikona miyana yisecha, al tainu ish esachiv. Now this, the pasuk shad, the pasuk is telling us that if you buy yourself from a Jew, I'll tell you, you're not allowed to rip them off, you're not allowed to take advantage. If you overcharge someone, or on the flip side, if you pay him less than the fair market value, if he doesn't realize it, you're taking advantage of him, that is an Isser Noah, that's an Isser Doraisa. And that is the Pashup Shad in the Pasuk. However, the Teres Kainim has another way of reading this Pasuk. And he says the way to read this Pasuk is V'chisimkuru Memkar, when you're going to sell something, when you have an item to sell, La'am yisecha, sell it to a Jew. Oikana, if you're about to make a purchase, you're going to buy something, me'am yisecha, go buy from a Jew. Go buy from another Yid. And this is the source of the halacha, that whenever you're buying or selling, the achronim ad, it supplies, you're hiring a worker, you know, any service that that you need, there is a mitzvah to give kedima, to give the business to a Jew, to sell to a Jew, to buy from a Jew, or to hire a Jew. Now, I think everyone understands that all things being equal, the price is the same, the quality is the same, then of course, if you can throw the business to a Yid, if you keep the money within the community, obviously that's what should be done. But with the question that comes up is, what happens if they're not the exact same? What happens if the Goy is selling it for a few dollars less? What happens if the quality from the non-Jewish service provider or establishment is better? And or what would happen if it's simply more convenient to go to the Goy? How far does this obligation go? To what extent, how far out of your way, how much do you have to spend in order to mekayim this inyan and this mitzvah? Now, interestingly enough, if you look at the tshuvos that discuss the matter, so there's very little discussion about how a person, you know, he has a choice of what kind of Cheerios to buy, Cheerios or toasted oats. Does he have a chiv to go ahead and buy the Jewish brand if he likes the Goyish brand better? There's very little discussion about that. People apparently had more important things on their mind. But where there is a tremendous discussion about, and literally dozens of tshuvos back and forth, is, are you allowed to buy a Yana v'esrig? And what's the issue? The issue is, it wasn't the Yana v'esrig. There the issue was, you could buy a srogim from Eretz Yisrael, or the other place to buy a srogim was from Karfu. They were Greek esrogim. Now, when you were buying a Greek esrog back then, it meant that it was literally coming from Greece. The orchard, the person who owned the paradis was a guy. So over here, on one hand, we have the concept of v'chisimkru memkar la'am yisecha. You're supposed to be buying Jewish. But the esroigim that came from Eretz Yisrael, that you were able to buy from a Jew, were not as nice. So now we have a conflict. There's a din of hidr mitzvah, kach lechem pri etzadar. You're supposed to buy a beautiful esrog. To buy a beautiful esrog, you had to buy it from a guy. If you wanted to be mekayim the din of v'chisimkru memkar la'am yisecha, if you wanted to buy Jewish, you had to buy from Eretz Yisrael, and there the esrogim were of a lower quality, they were not as nice. So here the question is which concept trumps? Do you buy Jewish, or do you buy the nicer esrog? Now there's an entire sefer that discusses this matter. It's a sefer called Pri Etz Hadar. Coincidentally, you know, the tshuva, it's a collection of about 20 tshuvas. encouraging people to buy Esrogim from Eretz Yisrael and going through the different issues. Coincidentally, it was published by a fellow who owned a Pardis in Eretz Yisrael. But the tshuvas that we're going to discuss are actually printed elsewhere, so I think they are reliable regardless of the fact that they were published in this country. So the first tshuva we're going to discuss is the tshuva of the Machzeh Avram that deals with this matter. And what the Machzeh Avram points out that there's no discussion about this concept directly, whether Hiddur Mitzvah versus buying Jewish, which one is more important. However, there's another basic question, which is how much do you have to spend in order to patronize a Jew? What kind of premium is he entitled to charge? At what point do you say, no, it's the Jew is more expensive, I'm going elsewhere. So there's a famous Truvas Raman, Simin Tesef, Simin Yud, depending on the print. And he's dealing with Maram Padova's Rambam. Maram Padova was the Gadol Hador in the times of the Ramah, and he printed a set of Rambams. To print Svarim back then was a tremendous expense, it was a tremendous investment. Maram put in a tremendous amount of time and money printing the Rambams. But when it came time to actually print it, he chose a particular printing house. There were two printing houses in that city. They're both actually owned by Goyim, and they were competitors. When Maram Padova chose one printing house, the other printer was very insulted. He was very upset. This is a very prestigious account. So he decided to get even with Maram Padova. And what he did is, he was a very wealthy fellow. He went ahead, he printed his own Rambams, and he sold them in order to compete with Maram Padova. Not only did he compete, but he announced that whatever price Maram Padova sells his Rambam for, the guy said, I'm going to sell mine for one zahav less. I'm going to undercut him. Now, since the people buying Rambams are generally Jewish, they can't resist the bargain. So no one was buying Maram Padova's Rambam. And the Maram Padova was faced with total ruin. And he asked the Ramah to write a tshuva. What is the halacha? Should people be buying from the Maram Padova, or can they be buying from the Goy because it's a better deal? So the Ramah answers, he actually says there's an obligation to buy from Maram Padova. He goes through four different reasons why. But one of the reasons is our halacha. It says, V'chisimkru memkar la'misecha. There's an obligation, if you have a choice from buying from a yid or buying from a goy, you have an obligation to buy from the yid. And therefore, the Ramah paskins, you're not allowed to buy from the goy, even though it was still being sold at a discount, one zahav less. And that's the psak of the Ramah. But then the Ramah continues and says, maybe not. It's true that the Torah's Kainim says you have to give kedima, if you have a choice between a yid and a goy, you have to patronize the Jew. But perhaps that's only when the price is the same. If the goy is selling it at a discount, perhaps to save money, you're allowed to go there. Not the Ramah, that's not true. Why? And he brings two rayas. His first raya is that we know there's a halacha of kesef talmid. That's amen. There is a mitzvah to lend another. If a yid needs money, there's a mitzvah. There's an obligation to give an interest-free loan. The Gemara above Mitzvah darshins that kesef talmid is amen is ani imach. That ani v'asher ani v'kaidim. There's a wealthy person or a poor person that needs to borrow money. You lend the money to the poor person. If there's a relative who needs to borrow money and a stranger, a relative has kedima. And then the Gemara says ami v'nachri ami kaidim. You have two people approach you for a loan, a yid or a goy. The halacha is you have to give kedima. You have to lend the money to the yid. The Gemara asks, yid and a goy come to you for a loan. Do you need a pasuk to tell you should give it to the Jew? Of course, pshita. What's the chiddush? So the Gemara says, lo tzricha, the case is, when the goy comes for a loan, you're going to charge him interest. When the yid comes, there's an issur of ribbis, so it's going to be an interest-free loan. So the Gemara says, the chiddush of the pasuk is, even though the goy is willing to pay interest, and the yid is asking for a gemach, he's asking for a free loan, still the halacha is, you have to give the money to the, you have to lend the money to the yid without interest, Ami v'nochri, ami koyim. Now, again, there are many halachas about this. If this is a person's parnasa, if a person runs a bank, then the Chavetz Chaim says, chayecha koyimim, this halacha doesn't apply. If your parnasa is lending money and charging interest, you're allowed to do that. But in a typical case, you're not a banker, you have your business on the side, you have a few dollars, you don't need it for your parnasa, there's a chiyuv to give the loan to a yid. So you see clearly, if the goy comes, he's gonna pay you interest. To lend to the Jew, it's a gemach. Still, the Gemara says that you have a chiyuv to give kedima to the yid. So we see clearly that even when there's a loss, even though you'll do better off financially by dealing with a goy, still the obligation of kedima applies, and you would have to deal with the yid. Then the Ramal continues and says, it's not really a good proof. Because over there, when you have a choice, you can lend the money to a yid or lend the money to the goy. If you choose to lend the money to the yid, are you becoming any poorer? Are you actually losing money? No, you're not losing money. All you're doing is you're foregoing an opportunity to earn a profit. You're able to charge the goy interest. You're not doing that. So you're passing on the opportunity to earn a profit. That we see, there's a chiyuv to deal with it with the yid first. However, when there's an actual loss out of pocket, you need to buy something. If you spend more, you're actually losing it's money out of pocket. The Ramah says perhaps there's no obligation. After that, the Ramah says there's another Gemara. The Gemara in Abba Dezara, Daf Chaf, talks about the Hadas Halacha, you're not allowed to eat a nevela, and it says, L'gerash b'sharecha titnenu, oy mechor l'nachri. If you have a nevela, you can't eat it. So the Pasuk says, you can either give it to a Ger Toshav, or you can sell it to a Goy. So first the Pasuk says, you can give it to a Ger Toshav, and then it says, you can sell it to a Goy. So the Gemara Abba Dezara learns, if you have a choice, a Ger Toshav approaches you, he'd like it as a present. The goy is willing to pay for it. The Gemara says there is a chiyuv to give to give it as a present to a ger toshav instead of selling it to a goy. Here you have a piece of meat. It has a certain market value. Instead of selling it for that market value, there's an obligation to go ahead and give it as a matana to a ger toshav because he's mekabel shevet tzitz b'nei noach. So kol shkein v'kol shkein, if you're dealing with a yid, there's an obligation to patronize the yid even b'makom hefsek. Now, Tosfos points out, you have to take this in context. Because what did we just say? We just said you have a choice between giving a present to a ger toshav, or certainly a yid, or selling to a goy. We've just said, gemara mefurashes, that you have to give the present to the Jew instead of selling it to a goy. So what will be if you have a store, you sell cameras, you're about to sell it, there's a goy comes in, he's going to buy the camera, $150. And then as you're about to hand it to him, a yid walks in the store and says, can I have that camera? He says, sure, $150, I'll sell it to you. He tells you, no. The Gemara says, you have a choice between selling to a goy or giving it to a yid. You have to give it to the yid. So why don't you just give me the camera as a present, and I have kedima, I come first. So Delta says, obviously, there's no that's ridiculous. So Delta says, what the Gemara means is, we're talking about a nevela. If you're a butcher, and you're selling a nevela in Yerushalayim, how much are you going to be able to sell a nevela for? Not very much. There were no Arabs back then. There was Lezichai Kol Meshama, so there were only Jews living there. So if there's a nevela, there's really not much you can do with it. It's worth just a davar muad. So there is Zaktaisvah, if you sell it, it's a davar muad. It's literally, it's a couple of pennies, a couple of dollars. But on the flip side, the Ger Toshav, you're giving him a whole animal. That's a tremendous, I mean, he doesn't have a choice. He's got to buy meat in a kosher butcher. So this Ger Toshav is getting something of tremendous value. You're losing a minimal amount. There you have an obligation to give it a matana to the Ger Toshav instead of selling it to a goy. But in a case where, without that, in a case where there's a significant loss or your loss is roughly equivalent to his gain, certainly this halacha would not apply. If you have a store, you can sell things to goyim. You don't have to give it all away for free to a yid. But be that as it may, the Zok Ramah, we have a raya from this Gemara, that even b'makom hefsid, you have an obligation to give away at least a hefsid muat, a small loss. You have to give away the animal to a yid or to a ger toshav instead of selling it to a goy. So based on this, the Ramah says, back to the case of the Rambams, if even though the Rampadva is selling the Rambams at a premium, it's more expensive than the goys, still, you have a chiv to buy the Rampadva, you have to patronize the yid. He says, Kol Shkein, we're dealing with the Talmud Chacham, but he says, even without that, the very fact that he's Jewish, you should be giving him the business, even though it will cost more. Now, what's not clear is clear from the Rambam, how much more? Oh, very good. And as the Ramah says, it has to be more. So if you go through Jewish Ramah, he says very clearly how much more. His case was, we mentioned before, it was one Zahav more. So there you have it. One Zahav you have to spend extra. More than that, we have no Raya to.
What's
a Zahav? Very good. What's a Zahav? What's it worth? And also, you have to also compare it to how expensive was the Rambam. Now, a Zahav, if you look back historically and compare it, a Zahav was approximately 3.5 grams of gold. But again, the value of gold back then, we have no idea what it was compared to the other items. We also don't know how much the Rambam sold for. I don't think there are any records of what the sale price was. So we're a little bit in the dark of how much of a hefsid you have to suffer. So let's go through a little bit from his raya. One of the Rambam's rayas is from a loan. If a goy is willing to pay you interest, the yid wants a gemach, you have a chiv to give the money to the yid as an interest-free loan. How much of a loss do you have to take? A goy comes to you, it's a lucrative investment, you're a loan, it's a payday loan, he's charging you, you can make 80% overnight, whatever they do. How much do you have to give up in order to patronize the Jew? So this is Machlokes Achronim, Chavetz Chaim brings down the Shaar Mishpat, says you only have to give up a davar mu'at, only a minimal amount. And he actually has a very nice raya. He says, we know there's a chiyuv hashavas aved. Your friend loses something, you find it, you have an obligation to return. What happens if your friend loses something, but you're on your way to a business meeting, or you have a job? If you return it, it's going to take some time. You're going to lose out. So halacha over here is, there's no chiyuv hashavas aved, there's only when you do not have a hefsid. If you're going to lose money, there is no chiyuv hashavas aved. Again, the Gemara says you shouldn't be so makbid on that. A person should be mevatera from his money, but the technical chiyuv is only when he will not suffer a loss. Zok Shaar Mishpat. If hashavas aveda, the person is actually losing money, I have an opportunity to save him. I don't have to do it if I have a loss. How could it be that I have a chiyuv to patronize him and suffer a loss just so that he should get more business? But, so, Shaar Mishpat says the halacha is only by a davar mu'at. He says it's a special pasuk, a gezeiras hakasuk, that you have to give up epis something, but he says only a minimal amount. Now many achronim argue, Megillas Esther and others, they argue and they say no. By a halva, they say if it was a davar mu'at, if it was an insignificant amount, you wouldn't need a pasuk. What do you need kesef taves ami? It's a svara. It's a svara pshuto that for a minimal amount, they say you would still have an obligation to patronize the yid. He said, the pasuk is telling me to tell you, even by a hefsid meruba, even by a significant loss, still you have to lend the money to the yid, and instead of profiting off a goy. We mentioned before, if it's kedei chayav, if you're a banker, this will not apply. But for a regular person, you have an opportunity to profit off a goy. Gilas Esther says the chiyuv to lend money to a yid trumps even if there's a significant difference. Now, what about archives? What about by buying and selling? So the Chavetz Chaim understood from the Ramah that the Ramah's case was only by a davar mu'at. One zahuv was not a significant discount. And the Chavetz Chaim says that's where the Ramah paskins that you have kedim. But if it's a significant price difference, the Chavetz Chaim says there is no chiv to patronize the yid. It's only by a minimal difference. Even the shitas that say by a loan that you do have to give the loan to a Jew, even if you're foregoing a lot of profit, there, number one, it's only lost profit. It's not actual money out of pocket. And second of all, there's a special mitzvah, this chiv d'oraisa in kesef tava ezami, where there's a special mitzvah in kesef tava, there you have to give up significant profits. But this idea of patronizing a yid, which is it's a drasha in the Teres Kayanim, there, according to virtually all of the poskim, you do not have to give up a significant amount. They'd have simaruba. There would not be a chiv to patronize the Jew. What is the definition of a hefsin meruba and hefsin what? So the Nachla Shiva says it means 1/6. If a Jew is charging a premium of 1/6 or up to 1/6, you have to patronize him. Once it's 1/6 or more, that's already considered a significant amount, and then you no longer have to buy from the Jew. Many Achronim argue. They say there's no hard number. You can't put a number on it, 1/6, 1/4. It really depends on the person. Every person in Yoruday, we find very often, there's a chicken. It could be there are many shittas that aser, but it's mutter b'dieved, it's mutter behefsin meruba. There are also, many places can write, hefsin meruba is subjective. Depends how wealthy the person is, depends on his particular financial situation. If it's a significant loss for him, he can then be makel in such cases. If it's for him, it's insignificant, he has to be machmer. So to put it a little bit unfairly, if you have a choice between buying from a Jew or a guy, if the price difference is such that if the goyiz was only kosher b'dieved, you would still eat it because it's makom hefsin meruba. You would be soimich on the heter because of the price difference. So then, for this halacha as well, you have every right to buy from a goy. It's a hefsin meruba. You don't have to patronize the Jew. But if it's a minimal price difference, if you had a different, if you had a choice between meat which is kosher mahadrin menahadrin, or meat that's kosher b'diavad, you spend the extra few dollars for the hiddur mitzvah, for the fact the hiddur and kashrus. So then the same halacha should apply by patronizing a yid, and you should be buying from the Jewish establishment.
Does it make a difference if each individual item is minimal amount? Let's say the box of Cheerios, you know, just one time, you know, is a minimal amount. You would obviously buy the more expensive one and give it to the Jew, but over a year's time, the small little
Good point. Presumably, you would look at Hefsim Ruba. If it's something that you're buying constantly, then you'd look at the fact how much you buy over the year. Now, even for a person, if $1,000 is Hefsim Ruba, but $1,000 spread out over your lifetime probably isn't. But if it's something, if you're dealing with grocery shopping and you're going every any given item won't be, but together you add it up, you add up your monthly bill, there'll be a significant difference. L'chor, you have the right to be made. Now, let's just go back for a moment. The question that we opened with was Hiddur mitzvah. You have a beautiful esrog from a goy, you have a not so beautiful esrog from a yid. Which one do you buy? Zog the Machzeh Avram, a beautiful ched. He says like this. We know the halacha is, if you have a choice, you go over, you're about to buy an esrog, you have two choices. A regular esrog for $100, and a esrog mehudr, which is a third extra. What's the halacha? The halacha is hiddur mitzvah ad shlish. You're supposed to spend up to a third extra to buy a beautiful esrog. Zog the Machzeh Avram. Let's go to our case. We have a yid and a goy selling esrogim. The price are the same. The yid is not very nice. The goy is his mehudr. So if hiddur mitzvah is a shlish, that means we can monetize what the hiddur mitzvah is. That means the value of the hiddur mitzvah is a third of the value of the esrog. So if they're selling it for the same price, but the goy is mehudr, that means for a goy you're getting a much better value. You're getting the equivalent of a shlish extra without any premium. Zok v'machzeh Avram, because you're getting so much more money. This is a hefsim merubah, but this is a significant difference. And therefore, the Machzeh Avram paskins, if you have a choice between the two, you can buy the esrog mehudr from the goy. You don't have a chiyuv to buy from the yid. Now, this is a beautiful chesed. But what comes out according to the Machzeh Avram is what happens if the goy is selling the mehudr, but it's more expensive. It's a shlish more. So then already, we lose this chesed. And also, what happens if we're not dealing hiddur mitzvah? You're looking for, you're buying your box of Cheerios, and you can buy Cheerios or toasted oats. So over there, we're not talking about hiddur mitzvah shlish, you happen to like the taste of the goyish brand better. So there, if according to this Machzeh Avram, it's not going to help us very much. There's no financial, there's no monetary difference, not a hefsim ruva buying one over the other. But for this, we have a tshuva from Rav Meir Arik. It's also published in this Kuntres Pri Etz Hadar. And Rav Meir Arik, he has a beautiful deek in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim. Is the Rambam here? The Rambam is discussing the hiring a Jewish worker, and as opposed to buying a slave. So the Rambam has a whole Arichas Aloshin saying that when you buy a slave, you have slaves in your house, they do Averis and Chatoyim. And Adrabah, if you hire Jewish workers, every time you're Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov, you're being Mahana them, and it's every single time you need a job done, it's more chesed and more chesed and more chesed. The Rambam has beautiful Lashonis. Fred Rameir Arik, the beautiful Moser Shmuz, very nice Lashonis. But why do we need this? Why doesn't the Rambam say it's never Pashad? You have a choice between buying a Yid from a Goy. The Rambam should write, Chayiv to hire the Yid, Shenemar v'chisimkru nemkar ala amisecha, oikonam yad amisecha. They have an obligation to hire the Yid. What's the end of story? What do we need this whole shmooze about? It's good to have Jews hanging around your house and being nana from your nechasim. Zog Rav Meir Arik. He says, it's a davar pashut. If you walk into a store, you want to buy apples. And there's the guy selling apples. The Yid comes along and says, listen, come to my store, buy from me. But I happen not to have apples in stock, I'll sell you oranges. Obviously, there's no obligation to buy oranges from the Jew. There's no, the din of kedima is they're both selling the same thing. So halacha is I should go ahead and give the business to a Jew. But if one's selling apples, one's selling oranges, I don't have to buy something that I don't want simply because the Jew's the one that's selling it. Zog Rav Meir Arik, the same thing is true if there's yafus and rois, if the quality is not the same. Even though they're both apples, but if I'm looking for grade A apples, and the guy and the yid is selling grade B, C, D, or E, whatever it may be, that's not what I want. That's not what I want. I don't have to go and buy something that I don't want simply because it's a Jew that's selling it. Therefore, Zog Rav Meir Arik, if I want an esrog mehudr, that's what I want. If a Jew cannot provide it, if the striking from Eretz Yisrael are not as nice, there this whole concept of kedima does not apply. And that's why we're dealing with, when you're dealing with hiring a Jewish worker as opposed to a slave, when you buy a slave, he's yours forever. You work him 24 hours a day, there's no dinner by sirdal by mefarach, you can make him do, you can work him as hard as you want. When you hire a Jewish worker, you have to deal with him. Every day you need a new worker, there are limitations, how hard you're allowed to push a Jewish worker. So it's really not the same, and that's why the Rambam couldn't say there's a chiyuv. Therefore, he had to give this muzer shmuz that it's still worth giving up the money. It's worth being mevater on the service in order to be mehanan another yid. But according to Rav Meir Arikha, comes out whenever the quality is not the same, whenever you want something better, mehuder, you like the taste better, there this chiyuv would not apply. So this would apply not only to esrogim, but it would certainly apply. It would apply to anything. If you like the product better, you have the right to say that this is what I want, and you have the right to buy from the guy. Now there is one important limitation. Although we said until now that if the Jewish store is more expensive, there's a premium. As long as it's only a hefsim mu'ud, as long as it's not a significant price difference, you have an obligation to patronize the Jew. However, Chavetz Chaim points out that this is only talking about a case where there's a store. The Jew is selling it at the fair market value. A guy comes along and undercuts. He puts it on sale. He has a higher volume. He's able to slash the prices. So there, although you can save a few dollars by going to the guy, the din of Chisimkru Memkar Lamisecha says, go patronize the Jew, even though it'll cost you a little bit extra, it's still kedai to do it. So that's the Chavetz Chaim. But what happens if the guy is selling at a fair market value? Along comes the Jew and says, listen, I have a captive audience. I'm Jewish. I'm going to open up. I'm going to get someone to give a shiur about patronizing Jewish businesses. And for now, it's wonderful. I'll be able to charge a premium. And people, they're stuck. They'll still have to come to me. Zot Chavetz Chaim, nothing doing. Zot Chavetz Chaim, that let's go back. What's the makar of this whole halacha? The pasuk tells us, "V'chisimku memkar la'misecha, oikonu mi'avisecha, al tonu ishasecha." Zot Chavetz Chaim, "V'chisimku memkar la'misecha." When you're buying or selling, do it from a yid. But it's only by al tonu ishasecha. It's only if he's not taking advantage, he's not ripping you off. The moment he is above the fair market value, even if it's not in Hilchos Oinuah, even if it's a minimal amount, this halacha doesn't apply. It's only he's the fair price, the guy is willing to undercut, it's on sale, there these halachas will apply. But if the yid is taking advantage, the yid is jacking up his price simply because he has a captive audience, there the halacha would not apply. Now, one just interesting point to note is that although these tshuvas say that when the esrog that comes from Karfu is more mehuder, you do not have to buy from a Jew. Afal Pikin, they say that what's pshat? Why are the esrogim that are coming from Greece nicer than the Israeli ones? They say because in Eretz Yisrael they had just gotten off the ground, they were undercapitalized, they weren't able to really take care of the pardes in the way they should have, and that's why the product wasn't as nice. But Zokna Machz Avram, it's kedai if everyone would start buying from the Yidden, if everyone would start buying from the Eretz Yisrael to the pardesim, they would be able to afford to invest in the pardesim, and over time they would improve. And therefore Zokna Machz Avram, it is kedai to make a takana. Everyone should bedafka buy from the Yidden, even though it means giving up on the din hither, you're giving up. You won't have such a nice destroying for the next few years. But by doing that, that's a worthwhile that investment. That's a worthwhile price to pay to lose out on the hither for a short period of time in order to have to set up parnasa for Yidden over a longer period of time. And therefore, they say there should be such a takana. It's kedai to do it, even though you can't say it. There's no chiyuv. It's, you know, there's no obligation to do it, but still, in order to set up a yid, to give them a parnasa, it's something which is, it's kedai to do.
Does tirchah play a role? Let's say you go to a one-stop shop, special place, you get everything at a very good price. Mm-hmm. You go to 10 different shops. This one will be this cheap, this one will be this cheap.
Very good. So as we've discussed quality, where we said there's no obligation to forego the quality to patronize the yid. We discussed price, where we said there is an obligation to spend a bit more, only a davar mu'at, not a significant amount. What if there's a convenience factor? It is easier, it is less tircha to go to shop by the goy, he's closer to your house, or whatever the reason may be. So here there's a tshuva from Maram Sheik in Chayshim Mishpatim Mem Aleph, where he discusses this question. And what he says is that the avichiv to buy from a yid is like is an inyan of chesed. Now, whenever you do chesed, you bikur chayim. If someone, a friend is sick, you visit him in the hospital. Visiting someone in the hospital is a lot of tercha. You have to drive to the hospital. You have to find parking. It's time. It's difficult. But no one's going to say I don't have to do chesed because it's difficult. That's he says roid of chesed. That's what we do. We're Jews. If it's just the question of tircha, he says it's never pasha because you're dealing with the milas chasadim, you're dealing with being mahana another yid. Tircha is never a reason not to benefit another Jew, and he says this should not be a factor.
But that's optional.
Now, what?
That's optional. That's not.
No. So he's saying that we have a drasha of a chisimku memkar that says you should be patronizing Jews. The reason now it's not just a chesed. There's a general mitzvah of chesed, but then there are specific things where the Torah says this is something that you should be doing. And therefore, the fact that it's a bit more tirchah, he says, there's no obligation. The Chuvus Vanhoge says there has to be a limit. If you're thirsty, it's late at night. How far do you have to drive to get a can of soda from a Jewish store? So he says, he doesn't give a clear hagdara. He says perhaps it's like in the din of tefillah a dime, you have to travel up to a mil, not further. Then he says it perhaps depends on the size of the purchase. Buying a can of soda, so they say the store owner wouldn't schlep 10 blocks to buy, to get it from his own store. He'd buy it from the local guy. So you can't be a mechayev someone to do more than that. It's hard to give guidelines. It certainly is somewhat subjective. But the point is, the takeaway from Aram Shik is it's gemilas chasadim, and therefore, because it's gemilas chasadim, it's something where that your person should be willing to go through a little bit of extra tircha in order to do. Another way to look at this. And I didn't see this mefurish anywhere, but really basing it on the Taisus and Avodah Zarah and extending it a little bit, is Taisus and Avodah Zarah look, his point was, we can weigh my loss against his gain. So in a case where, although you don't have to give up a lot, if I have a minimal loss and he will have a significant gain, there it's a devar pashut, you have to do it. It's mistavra that you can use these kinds of svaras the other way around. If he's going to have a minimal gain, I'm going to buy a soda from him, or we're going to buy something that for him, it's a very low profit margin. It doesn't make sense. I should spend an extra $5 that he should earn another $2, where it's a net loss. So it's mistavra. It only applies when it's, his revah, his gain is more and significantly more than my actual loss. That's true. That's what he said. Chesed is something.
This is something once in a while I have to buy a bigger thing.
But when it says specifically, and Torah's Kaidim says what that means is buy from a Jew. It's telling you that whenever you buy, you should be patronizing from a Jew. So it's not just one of the many ways to do chesed. It is a specific situation that the Torah addresses and says you should be buying Jewish.
Is level of service
Oh, very good. So what happens if they provide a better level of service? So if it gets to the point where it's mahudr, we said a nicer esrog, you have the right to say, this is the service that I want. If you're looking for a one-stopper, the kind of service where they just take care of everything, you want to bring your car to the dealer, they'll just take care of it, it'll come back, everything ready, good to go. So then if the Jew is not providing that service, so that's like an esrog mahudr, the remeir arik, in the case of the goy, the slave is providing a better service, a higher level of service, you have the right to say, this is what I want. On the other hand, if it's a minimal, if it's not a meaningful difference, then this halacha will apply. I mean, for example, although we said if the esrog is nicer, you can buy it from the goy. On the other hand, this halacha clearly applies when you're buying real estate. Now, every piece of real estate is unique, right? Now, but never. So, what does it mean? You have a chiv kedima to buy a yid. You want this property, not the other property. The answer is. That's true in some cases, but if you're buying a farm, whether the farm is on this side of the street or on that side of the street won't really make a difference. And therefore, if you can buy from the Jew or buy from the Goy, you have an obligation to buy from the Yid because there's no meaningful difference. But certainly, one is a better field or one is a different type of service, you have the right to say, this is a different item and you can go to whoever you choose.
Like a better return policy, for example.
Oh, better return policy. So there's the Aguda deals with this as far as, again, these shaylos, it's hard to find Marma Kaimus about return policies. But there is, in the context of lending money, so there the Aguda talks about what happens if the goy wants to borrow money, he has better collateral. He has a better mashke. The Jew has, his collateral is not quite as secure. So the Aguda says that there's no kedima. You can lend to wherever the better collateral is. Now, translating into this case, I would say it really depends on the situation. If you're walking into a store, you don't know if you want it yet. You're going to buy it, you'll try it out, you'll decide over the next 2 weeks whether you really want it. So then, if you go to a nice, you know, one of these department stores where they'll take it back, no questions asked. If you go to a Jewish store, once you walk out with it, it's yours. So there, that's presumably like the Aguda. By buying from the Jewish store, you're at risk, because if you choose not to, if you decide you don't want it, you're stuck with it, and there you'd be able to go to the Goyish store. On the other hand, if you're making a regular purchase, you're buying something, and the likelihood of it being defective in a way that you won't be able to, is, you know, more or less is very minimal. So then I don't know how quickly we can jump to this Aguda. What I would suggest is answering the following question. If the Goyish store with a better return policy or a better warranty charged a few dollars extra, would you still be buying it? So if you'd pay a significant premium for this warranty, so then it's similar to a Hefsim Merubah, like a Machzeh Avraham's Cheshem. We can monetize it and say it's like there's a Hefsim Merubah, and you can buy from whoever you choose. If it's something which you wouldn't really pay anything extra for, that would probably indicate it's not a meaningful difference. And then Mstam al Chiyev to deal with the Yid would still apply.
Two different Goyish stores. I might not pay a cent from it, but I wouldn't go to this Goyish store which doesn't have it, and I would go to this Goyish store which does. Which means that it's important to me. It may or may not be monetized, but it's important because even if I'm going to have two Goyish stores, I would not pay for this one which has that policy.
Okay. What does not mean? If you have a choice between the two, you obviously, you know, one has better service, one has, and the price is the same, you'll obviously always go for the better one. That doesn't mean that it's important to you. My question to you is, if it's not something which you're not willing to pay a dime for, then it sort of indicates that it's not something which is really very chashuv. And it's not a halacha, but it is really an indication. If someone comes to you with poor collateral, you charge a premium. So in that case, in the Aguda's case, it's something which is a real. Something which is real, something which makes a difference, and something which you could put a financial value at. If it's just something with, listen, I'm going to one of the stores, they may as well just get the one with a better warranty, I don't think that would override the din of v'chi simkru memkru la misecha. Now, another common question that comes up, and we had dealt with an interesting situation. There was a particular town, and there were two stores that a person had a choice between two establishments. One was owned by a Jew. He's actually an affluent individual. And everyone working for him were going. He had a bunch of people working for him, got paid minimal amounts. The other option was to buy from an establishment that was owned by a guy. But this guy supported, there were five Jewish people that worked there. Their entire family's parnasa was really dependent on this establishment. So what do you do in such a case? Half and half. Now, in a technical sense, if you look at this as a din, so it says v'chisim kru mem kran v'isaka, it says you have to buy from a Jew. Technically speaking, we should look at who you're buying from. If you're buying from a Jew, you're makayim this din. If you're not buying from a Jew, you're not makayim this din. However, there's a Jew from the Tovas Re'em, Simon Chavez, that dealt with a similar situation. He says that no. He says the whole din of v'chisim kru mem kran v'isaka is to patronize Jews to make sure that they have panosah. He says, my chaz is dama d'yoh. Since whoever you're going to patronize, there's a yid whose parnasa depends on this establishment, depends on people coming into this store. He says, my chaz is dama d'yoh. We can't make this decision. And he says, this halacha will not apply. And you can go to wherever you choose. Now, you have to know how far to take this. You go to a store and they have a, you know, if you use your Target card, they'll donate 2% to your local cheder. I don't know if that means now it becomes a Jewish store because Jews have hana. In the case of Tevez or Eim, there were poilim, the people who worked there, that was their panasa. But I'll call upon him in a case, certainly, I mean, Tevez Eim also sounds like if you have a case where one, you can go to a Jewish store or an establishment where there's a partnership between a Jew and a guy. So there it seems like that there's no difference. You're really free to choose whichever one you want. Now, this entire discussion is as far as Allah goes, v'chisim kru mem kar la misecha. You can buy from a Yid, you can buy from a guy, you can hire a Jew, you can hire a guy who has priority, who has kedima. Now, Quran will point out that this is only a case where both of them have where the Yid has parnasa, but you should be throwing some more business his way. However, in a case where the Yid is struggling, there's a completely different issue. There we know the Rambam writes, and the Rambam has eight levels of tzedakah, different ways of giving tzedakah where the higher the level is, there's less embarrassment, it's more derech kavod. The highest level of tzedakah is mitzvah v'chazakta. And that is, if you have a person, he's not yet an ani, he's not yet reduced to begging, he has a parnasa, but he's struggling, it's shaky. So then there's a chiyuv v'chazakta, there's a chiyuv to make sure, to ensure that his business survives, that he doesn't become an ani, he's not reduced to taking tzedakah in the first place. And therefore, if you're dealing with a Yiddish establishment which is struggling, there's a possibility that he will end up becoming an ani, he will end up shutting down, he'll end up having to come onto the tzibur, there's a chiyuv v'chazakta. V'chazakta does not have any of these rules. Then, by giving the business to the yid, you're literally, it's the highest form of tzedakah, it's a tremendous mitzvah. There we don't say, have some mu'ud, have some ruba. Every time you give tzedakah costs money. You're losing when you give tzedakah. And that's what the chiyuv tzedakah is. So in such a case where he is an ani, there these rules would not apply. You should be giving him the business regardless. There's a chasam sefer that says the kedima is for someone who's from. Usually refers to someone who's imcha mitzvahs, and therefore they would have kedima. There's always a discussion today of a tinik shenishba. But, and therefore, if you have a choice between someone who's not from and a goy, you should definitely be giving it to the person who's Jewish. But between someone who is Isaac and Mitzvah and not, then someone who's from should have kedima.
You might
have
the premium, the additional amount that you pay over and above.
Probably. If all you're doing is the din of Echzakta, if it's just a form of tzedakah, then Mistama, you can count.
Of course, there's nothing to do with the din of Echzakta, the law. If I have two or five Yiddish stories, I have one who is in that
matzah. Correct. Correct, 100%. This has nothing to do with the chisin simkru, and that's why we don't look at the garlic, we don't look at they have some ruba, have some ruah, we don't look at the quality. This is pashut echiyav of tzedakah. This is the best way to give tzedakah, and therefore you're 100% right. If they're within Jewish stores, if one is struggling and one is echiyav v'chazakta, you should be going out of your way to be giving that business. Now, the mice, as far as the takeaway, today there's virtually no service, or basically anything you want to buy, any service that you need. We, Baruch Hashem, we have Jewish electricians, we have Jewish plumbers, we have Jewish septic tank cleaners. We have anything you want today, you can find someone within the community that's willing to do it. And therefore, it's something that if everyone be a little bit more careful, a little bit more zahir in this inyan, there'll be a tremendous amount of money that would stay within the community. It'll be a tremendous help for both the families, the organizations, and it really ultimately benefits anybody, because the more the money stays in the community, goes around from one to the next, it's really a tremendous revach for everybody. Specifically, one simple case, if a person is going online, they're Googling whatever they want to buy. So before you buy from Amazon, check, see what B&H is selling it for. There's a reasonably good chance it'll be for less. But even if it's a minimal difference, there's no difference in Tircha, or again, I don't mean to plug any specific company, but if there are Jewish companies, there's no Tircha involved, it's usually a minimal price difference, that would be a simple case to be Mekayim the mitzvah, simkru memkru la misecha. Just want to end off with a beautiful story that I heard from my chavrusa. He actually gave shiurim on this, and someone came to him and told him something that actually happened with him. He was a salesman, and he made an appointment to meet with a lady. She was actually not from. And he was supposed to come, 3 o'clock to the lady's house. Something happened, he got caught up, and he missed the appointment. That night he calls, he apologized, and says, I'm very sorry, but can we reschedule? So this lady let him have it. I had this appointment, I stayed home for you, I was waiting, and there's a waiter there. And she's yelling and screaming, how could you do this to me? But then she ends off. She says, "Listen, I know you're Jewish. I'm not religious, but a Jew has to give another Jew a chance. Tomorrow, 3 o'clock, come and I'll give you another shot at the business." So the next day, 3 o'clock, on the button, he's there, knocks on the door, and door opens. There's a young girl there. She says, "What are you doing here?" And he says, "I'm here to see your mother." She says, "My mother just had a heart attack. We're waiting for an ambulance." He says, "I'm a member of Hatzalah." He ran in. And he, Baruch Hashem, he was able to resuscitate her. So when a person is zohar in this inyan, when a person goes ahead and makes sure to help out another yid, to patronize another yid, you're doing it to help the other person, you're doing it because of the din of v'chisim nemkar la misecha. But as we pointed out, it's always, you're keeping it in the community, ultimately it's something that everyone benefits for, and something which would be a tremendous chus for all of us to be zohar in. Thank you.
We'll start another bit or something. We have Marva almost for the next year, so.
Thank you. Okay.